It's the Plan B After Show podcast with Brock and Hunter. It's not better, just more.
Well, I say, good chap, it's about time for the After Show podcast. Chip, chip, cheerio.
I don't know what that was. I have no idea.
Let's go.
I'm losing my mind.
I said good day.
I love when people say that.
He's losing his mind, and I am reaping all the benefits.
That means the conversation is over.
It is the Plan B After Show podcast. Brock, Hunter, of course, as always, the After Show podcast brought to you by Gilson Cycle, 1492 Pipestone Road in Benton Arbor. Hit them up, man. You need your cycle worked on. Cycles in their name, you dummies. So go see Gilson Cycle. Give them a call, 269-876-0882. You can also find them on Facebook, Gilson Cycle. Let's do it. It's facts and opinions on your After Show podcast. Fact number one, opinion number one. Smucker's actually cuts the crust off of normal sandwiches to make Uncrustables. Then they send the crust out to be used as animal feed. Huh.
Nice. There you go.
That's interesting.
Crustables?
Dude, Crustables, yeah, like... Go ahead.
You can almost tell it's just like pushed together. You know what I'm saying?
So it must be a machine. So they make it, and then it probably goes through a machine and, stamps it out and pushes it together. Crustables are fucking dangerous, dude. I could eat a whole box of Crustables. No problem. No problem.
Why does the crust really fill you up that much more? Because I feel like after a regular peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'm good.
But see, here's the thing.
After one Crustable, I'm like, dude, I could probably eat the rest of that box.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because of ease of use, because here's what slows you down with a regular peanut butter and jelly sandwich. The making of the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? So when you don't have to make it, when you can just shovel it in your fucking face hole, it's easy to put them down, and they're so delicious. See, like me, I can make and eat two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'll make one, eat it. I'm like, ooh, I want another one. So I'll make another one. But that's two of them, making them. Now you take out the making process, forget about it. I can put down an entire box of Uncrustables.
You ever freeze them?
Oh, yeah, dude. I don't like them like rock hard. You got it. There's that fine line there. But you always keep them cold. Always keep them cold.
Yeah, it's like you freeze them. I freeze them and then I leave them out for like a half hour before I eat.
Yep.
Eat them, I think.
Oh, man. It gets the peanut butter
in
just
the fridge.
It gets the peanut butter just a little hard, but not that hard. Yeah. Oh,
it's good, dude.
God, I love Uncrustables so much. I think I'm going to buy
grape or strawberry.
Honestly, either one. I think I'm more of a peanut butter and grape guy if I really were to do it.
Me too.
Yeah. I do like strawberry, though. You know, it's like but also I'll do like Kiki's grandma always gives us a bunch of homemade jam. So we got like blackberry, blueberry jam, rhubarb jam. Oh, anything's good with it.
Nice.
It's sugar is what it is. But what a fun fact. Number two, opinion number two. Microsoft put Solitaire and Minesweeper in early versions of Windows to teach people how to use the mouse and click. No shit.
That's the reason, huh?
That's the reason right there. It took me way too long to figure out Minesweep. It took me way too long. I'd always just like go and just randomly click and see how many I could click before you got it. I didn't realize the numbers were how many bombs were around or however that works there. So, I think I've only beaten like one game of Minesweeper. That's it.
Yeah, I played it for just a hot second. Then I'm like, geez.
Yeah. Of course, that kids, you any children listening out there, forget that back in the day, that's all we had was Solitaire and Minesweep. So we'd be in school, you know, not listening to the teacher in our PC class and just playing Solitaire and Minesweep. So
a little bit different than Modern Warfare, Warzone.
Just a tad. Fact number three, opinion number three. Grocery stores sell a total of $5.5 billion worth of impulse buy items in the checkout line every single year. They'll get you, man.
Wow.
They'll get you.
That's why they set them there.
I
learned a lot about that when I used to work at Best Buy back in the day.
Yep.
It's like product placement is huge,
dude,
man.
Huge. Why do you think the milk's in the back of the store?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's because you got to walk past everything if you're just going in for milk or something small, and the meat products too. Usually are in the back because anything that expires quickly, put it in the back of the store because then people got to walk past all the other stuff. Yeah.
So we used to at Best Buy for Black Friday, which was a brutal day, man. It was like because you worked like 12 hours on your feet. It kind of sucked. But we made it like a maze. So you'd have to go through a maze to get through the store. You couldn't just kind of roam around. You know, you'd have to go a certain way. And just the product placement with that. Everybody wants a TVs. Well, what's at the end of the maze?
Yep.
TVs.
Yep.
It's just, you know, there's a lot to be learned on that, too. And now when I, like, go to stores, I notice it a little bit. I pick up on that stuff.
Yep. Yeah. I watched this really cool thing about gas stations. And gas stations really don't make any money on gas. What they make money on is the stuff inside. And there was this really cool, like, documentary I watched. It wasn't very long, but talking about the evolution of the gas stations and, like, how people do certain things, like, and why they set up certain things the way they do. Dude, I'm guilty of it, man. They get me on impulse buys fucking constantly, dude. All the time. I love it, though.
Just like Cracker Barrel. Why do you think they have a gift shop? You know, you got that little time between your meal.
Yeah, while you're waiting. While you're waiting to get seated and waiting to pay. Why not just spend some more money in this gift shop with stuff you don't need? Walmart and their clearance aisle. Dude, every single time it gets me. Every single time. Yep.
I cannot not buy this.
Oh, dude, I'm mad at myself. Yeah, so I went to the clearance aisle. I always pop in there to see what it is. And they had a, it was like a door workout thing, like the straps. And it was only $9. Usually it was like, I don't know, like $14. I'm like, you know what? Actually, that's good. I've been looking. You can't find weights or anything anymore. So I got that. Then they had some weedless hooks for wacky worms for fishing. Only a dollar. Usually it was like $5. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's a score. So I got that. And then have you seen those slingshots that are in a circle and then you just, so you hold it and then you pull right?
Yeah, it's kind of like it looked like the old vacuum tube.
Exactly. Yeah, they had one of those there for only $11. Usually they're $18. I bought that and then I put it in my cart along with the thing of like slingshot BB, right? Like the steel shot. And I'm walking around, I'm looking in my cart, and I'm like, I don't need this. I should put it back. And so I didn't end up getting it. But I'm mad at myself because I know it's probably not usually, it's not worth $18, but the fact that it was discounted that much, I'm like, man, I'd be making money. I'm losing money if I don't buy it. Damn.
This is why I'm broke.
Dude, exactly. I hate that website. It gets me the worst. Anyway. Let's see. Fact number four, opinion number four. Wyoming was the last state to change its legal drinking age to 21. They didn't make it the law until 1988.
Jesus, dude. You think it'd be one of the first states? Come on, you're Wyoming.
Yeah, but all those big states, like, I mean, Montana, I think you only need to be 14 to drive in Montana, like, legally be on the road, because it's different. I'd rather be in one of those big old wide open states and have it that way, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
1988.
Crazy, dude. 20 or 32 years ago.
Welcome to the world, Wyoming. Welcome to the world.
Yeah, how pissed all those people were that were like just turning, like they were 17 in July of 88, and then they changed and they're getting ready to turn 18, and they're like, oh, sorry, gotta wait.
Yeah, I don't think 18 is a good age, man.
Here's the thing, and everyone's like, well, if you can go fight for your country, you should be able to drink. And like, okay, how about this? If you go and actually join the army, then I'll let you drink. But for everyone else, it's not a valid excuse. If you're not fighting for your country, then your its point is moot. But yeah, I don't think 18-year-olds are, at least not nowadays, the 18-year-olds that I know are not capable of drinking. Like, it's just, we weren't. We didn't know what the hell we were doing.
Nah, bad decisions are made when you do it. You don't want to do it when you're young.
Yep. So I think 21's fine. All right, fact number five, opinion number five. In 1947, a plane carrying 11 people crashed over the Andes Mountains in Argentina. Before crashing, they sent the word Stendek, S-T-N-D-E-C, in Morse code. The full wreckage has never been found, and no one knows what Stendek means, S-T-N-D-E-C.
I mean, did he make a mistake, maybe, because he was trying to rush it?
Maybe.
Stendek. Huh.
Let's see.
Does it stand for something? Is it short? Like, send the.
Stranded. No, let's see. The last words, the last word in Stardust, which is the name of the airplane, was Stendek, was received by the airport control tower 4 minutes before the plane landed and repeated twice. It's never been set. It? This was 1947.
Oh, damn.
What's weird is that they hardly found any of the wreckage.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit different in 1947, though. You
know,
you got the black box. You don't got no GPS. You just got some dudes with some canes trying to find it. Or maybe other planes flying over, but still, even the planes back then were...
Here's an interesting... So the staff of the BBC television series Horizon presented an episode in 2000 on the Stardust disappearance, received hundreds of messages from viewers proposing explanations of Stendick. These included suggestions that the radio operator, possibly suffering from hypoxia, had scrambled the word descent, which... Stendick is an anagram of it. That Stendick may have been the initials of some obscure phrase, or that the airport radio operator had misheard the Morse code transmission, despite it reportedly having been repeated multiple times.
These stories are just terrifying to think about.
Yeah.
You know, like the Malaysian thing, this one that disappears, just anything that's just like, it's like, where'd it go?
Here's another one. It's also been suggested that World War II pilots used the seemingly obscure abbreviation when an aircraft was in hazardous weather and was likely to crash, meaning severe turbulence encountered, now descending, emergency crash landing. It is also known that all the crew, including the flight attendant, had prior World War II air service experience.
Maybe that's it.
But it says, however, this theory does not match with the rest of the message, which was reporting the flight's estimated arrival time.
Mystery, man. Unsolved mysteries.
Unsolved mysteries. Anyways. All right. There you go. Good facts today. Good
facts.
Yeah,
it was fun. That was a good one.
All right. I like that one. Well, that is going to do it for your facts and opinions on the Plan B After Show podcast. Thanks for hanging out. We appreciate it. And we'll see you guys on the next After Show podcast with more facts, more awesome opinions. Our opinions are the best part. Our opinions actually are facts. And here's a word from our sponsor, Gilson Cycle.
You ain't coming.
I can't. Come on. What's the matter? Your old lady won't let you?
Yeah, what's the matter? Your mama said you can't?
My bike quit. All right? It's my bike. My bike! My bike!
What's the matter with you? Oh,
just a nightmare, woman. Go back to sleep.
Don't let a broken bike blow your chance to ride.
Gilson Cycle eliminates nightmares with quick service turnaround on most motorcycles. See Larry Gilson at Gilson Cycle, Napier and Pipestone, Benton Harbor.